They keep coming to Manhattan, the young people from small towns across America in search of the city. Terry Teacher was one of those pilgrims. In this episode of Book Pod, he talks about his journey and all the improvisations along the way that took him from Sikeston, Missouri to New York City, where he is drama critic of the Wall Street Journal and chief culture critic at Commentary Magazine.
City Limits is my first book. It is a memoir of childhood and youth, a book about what it felt like to grow up in a small town in southeast Missouri, and what happens to somebody when he moves from a place like that by stages to a big city. I think that most American writers who talk about the experience of small town life, of coming from a small town in childhood, generally write from a standpoint of alienation. They feel that they can't live there anymore, that the opportunities are too small, that maybe they're too big for them. Thus, what they write about that kind of experience has a tone very different from my book, because I never felt alienated from Sikeston, the town where I grew up. I did come to realize that to do the things I wanted to do, because of the things I was interested in, that I was going to have to leave. But it was something that I did with reluctance and, you might say, on the installment plan. First, the town where I grew up, then Kansas City, which was an intermediate stage, and eventually New York City. But it wasn't something that I felt driven to do at any point in my life. It doesn't seem paradoxical to me that someone like me, coming from where I came from, should have ended up writing books about a great American journalist and a great choreographer and a great jazz musician. These, after all, are not people who came from sophisticated backgrounds, no more than I did. Maybe that's why I was drawn to them as possible subjects as well. If there's a paradox built into my life, it's that I am a small town boy, as I say in the subtitle of City Limits, but also an aesthete, someone who has always, from his earliest childhood, been intensely and I think primarily responsive to artistic stimuli. That really is what made it necessary for me to move to the city, because although there are artistic opportunities in small towns, there are nothing like the ones that you encounter in a place like New York or Chicago or San Francisco. What interests me most about my own life, looking back on it, is that this aesthetic part of my personality is something that I did cultivate as a small town boy through the medium of television, because television gave me access to a wider world that I wouldn't have had otherwise, through the books in the library, through my own work as a musician. And you can be that way. You can have those interests no matter where you come from. My idea of New York was shaped entirely by television when I was a boy. In the early 60s, much more television originated from New York than it does now. The Ed Sullivan Show originated from New York. Until I was a little older, Johnny Carson did as well. The show that meant the most to me was What's My Line, which came on in the Midwest. It came on at 9:30 every Sunday night. And if I had been good that week and done my homework, I would be permitted to watch it. It was live. The panelists wore evening dress. They were people who, when I was little, I only knew because they were What's My Line panelists. But as I grew older, I became aware of their places in the world. That Bennett Cerf was the man who ran Random House and published the books of great authors. And Arlene Francis was an actress. And they were sophisticated, not in a champagne-quaffing way, but they were people who lived a kind of life that was not accessible to me living in a small town. I felt, and I found out in adulthood that I was right to feel this way, that they did in fact know each other, that they were friends, and that they tended to know the people who were the guests on the show. And I was absolutely fascinated by the fact that there was this world out there in this place called New York and that these people were in it. And although at that point it didn't occur to me that I might enter that world, I wanted to know more about it. I started to see movies that were filmed in New York. I remember one that made quite an impression on me was North by Northwest. The first scenes of that take place in New York at the United Nations, at the Plaza Hotel, Grand Central Station. It was as though every time I saw a piece of this puzzle that was the great world in New York, the picture became clearer. New York had changed by the time I came here to live, but it very much lived up to what I expected of it. It didn't necessarily look like television in the 60s. There was graffiti in the subways, you know, the parts that you didn't see on television. But it was still a city of tall buildings and immense opportunity, especially cultural opportunity. It was a place I quickly discovered when I came here where you could spend every night going to see things, to see shows, plays, going to nightclubs, to concerts, going to museums. It was like this great cafeteria of culture, and in that way, it was entirely what I expected. Of course, it was dirtier than I expected. It was noisier than I expected. There were all the things that I think shock you when you first come to New York to live. But to me, they were superficial. They were not really the essence of the place. The essence of the place was what you could do, what you could see, and what you could learn. Now I have a life that's put together of writing about theater for the Wall Street Journal, writing about the other arts for my Saturday column for the Journal, the essays that I write for Commentary, which range over the whole world of art, my biographies. It's not easy, but it's the way I want to live because I bore easily. Just as I never wanted just to write about one art form, I never wanted just to do one thing. Every turn in my life has been an improvisation.
Terry Teachout's latest book is Pops, A Life of Louis Armstrong. BookPod producer is Barbara Finkelstein. Music is by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time at BookPod, home to writers of lasting value.